I'm entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic, or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter...
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
Hello, and welcome to the world of tomorrow. I am your heavily bearded host, Daniel.
And I am your lightly bearded host, O'Willy.
And I would gladly give myself a trim to offer you some beard. But I sold my razor. Wait, what's that fucking thing? You know what I'm talking about? The like old African proverb of like the people, like the artist sells his crowns to get the baker flour, but the flour or the baker sells his oven to give the artist paper. Have you heard this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Okay. I think I know what you're butchering right now. And it's something about people doing nice things for each other or something.
There's like three different professions who all sell one component of their profession to get the other person a component of their profession, and then they can't
but
do anything.
Because none of them have the thing anymore.
Right. And the moral of the story is be as selfish as possible, and capitalism wins every time. Is the moral.
Every single time.
Every time.
And here's what I'll say about capitalism. It has underpromised and over-delivered in almost every aspect.
Literally, everyone in the United States is literally a millionaire, without question. You're poor.
But don't think about it too much in the inflation way, because if you think too much about it...
Hey, if you took your bank account and you went back 200 years, I'm just saying, you'd be a millionaire. If I had $7...
You wouldn't have $1 million anymore. You'd have the same amount. It would just be worth more.
I don't think you understand how money works, but with time travel. When you go back in time... Inflation undoes itself.
Oh, when you put
itself.
It like that. When mm-hmm. you put it like that.
Mm-hmm. So then you have $1 million back then, which is technically also worth the same amount. That started unraveling.
Now is $1 billion in the past. If you go back far enough, it's $1 trillion.
That is true. Do you know, quiz.
So if we all went back to the time of Jesus, we would be quadrillionaires.
Quadrillionaires. Do you have any idea how many crosses you can buy? To crucify all your enemies.
Any idea how many hoplites you could fund?
That is the full Roman treasury. Quiz for you. Also treasury, got a little Hoosier there. Quiz. Who was the richest person to ever have lived? Okay.
Well, rich in what capacity? Because if we're counting...
Highest buying power.
Rich in friendship, then it's got to be me. Because my best friend is so good.
That just made me feel so good. I hope it was me.
And see, if it was rich in compliments, then it would be you.
Oh, that's true. The richest person to ever have lived with the most buying power of any currency. I mean, we could go Weimar Republic okay. and be like, I'm a billionaire with $2.
And we're counting pew burritos in that?
We are indeed counting pew burritos, okay. pew-covered okay. Doritos.
For the layman.
It's profiting good. Do you have any guesses?
Can you give me like an era? Like, is it modern era? Like,
no, this is like way old timey.
Okay, I'm gonna say like
it's like
Alexander
it's
Alexander
like
the Great or something.
Ancient
is it like
times.
That? It's like
not ancient, but like Dark Ages, I would say.
Okay, the Pope or something, the Catholic Pope Church.
That the Catholic Pope Church. no, it is. So I think the second one is John D. Rockefeller, who ended up having like 1% of the entire U.S. GDP because of the monopoly. But
Jesus Christ.
Which is so fucked. He was worth like, I think, $350 billion in today's. But the richest was Mansa Musa. Have you heard of him?
That sounds vaguely familiar. I'm sure you've told me about him before.
Yes. Mansa Musa was a basically Islamic, I think, Northern African like king, but he basically owned like all the gold mines in like the entirety of Africa. And it was like, it was literally Aladdin. He would literally go to towns and just throw gold everywhere and shit.
Whoa.
And they think he was worth like $600 to $800 billion. just his own personal net worth.
6 to 8 billion?
100 billion. So he's like worth double, if not triple, of what John D. Of Rockefeller like the current, was worth.
Okay, gotcha. That is crazy.
But also, like, there's wealth in that era is almost like asymptotic, right? Like, you can continuously get more wealthy, but your buying power of the available goods stays the same.
Because goods can only get to you so quickly.
And there are no goods to buy there, right? Like,
well, no, but even if you, kingdoms. Let's say, even if you bought every buyable thing in Africa at that point, same thing goes for Europe, right? Like, it's going to take a long time for that to get to you. And then you can't even, like, use it. So it's like, I mean, the same thing applies now. It's just a technology. It allows that sort of, like, buying power in the way you're saying it goes so much further, right? Like, because we have these, like, really dense objects, dense in terms of cost, like jets or, like, a yacht.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right. Exactly. And you don't have those, like, those do not exist.
A military industrial complex or...
Okay. Hey, to be fair, back then you could buy mercenaries. So maybe that's what he was doing. I don't know anything other than that. He was super rich.
That's
and,
what
like,
I said.
Gold everywhere.
Hoplites.
And we're back to square
full
one.
Circle.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Somebody get this guy.
And now is when we give thanks to our capitalist gods.
Our capitalist
dear,
god.
Dear $1 bill. Dear $5 bill.
Dear John D. Rockefeller.
No, he's just a demigod.
Oh, what about Carnegie?
Also a demigod. They're in the same level.
Okay, that's fair. People who have achieved capitalism are blessed by the gods.
Yeah, they got the check mark capitalism.
Their moms were diddled by capitalism.
They alienated enough people from labor that they have won capitalism.
Can we start an entire like canonical universe of like the gods and demigods of capitalism, where capitalism is just Zeus and fucks all these bitches and then has a bunch of like Carnegie kids and like
and
Astors.
And then like Hades is communism.
Right. Hades is Lenin. Actually, Hades was the most capitalistic
cast
of
down.
All the gods because you literally had to have two coins all across your eyes to go across the rivers of Styx. Boom.
Very good
knowledge
point.
Drop.
Very good point. But that was for the boat guy. That was for...
the ferryman.
Skeletor, the ferryman.
Can you imagine if Skeletor is like trying to make small talk on the ferry and he's like, "So, what'd you do in life?"
"I love to hear stories. My bitch of an ex-wife hates this job." "She said the hours are too long. It's infinity hours."
Well, this is not a historical.
Apparently,
nor
he started a stand-up. Started working on a stand-up routine too.
Yeah,
I've got a good type five, but that's about it.
I don't even remember.
I'm going to the underworld open mic tonight. It's me, Belial, and Beelzebub openers.
This went off the rails so fast, and I'm so glad we got to talk about history. However, maybe we should slide into some...
good news, everyone.
Oh, did you go first or did I go first last time?
You pretty much always go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
I'll go first. Show me the life hack.
My good news is that I started working out again. It feels great. Hey. Yeah.
Lovely.
I'm still getting back into it. So I'm really just doing like curls and then these guys to strengthen my back so I can get better posture. And then I run
you know
or I do.
It's good for your back. You should try to learn deadlifts.
Getting it blown out by a hung dude.
Well, that's later on in the program, but we need to get you ready for that.
True. You can't blow your back out efficiently if it's not strong enough, I've heard.
Well, the thing is, it's like you get – it's like any overwork in – over – what's it called? Overwork injury where you go too ham too fast. You got to build it up over time.
Ooh. Yeah, that is true. That's why I'm only doing like 3 sets with the free weights, and then I'm doing some planks and some leg lifts on the ground. And then
I've heard that planks are the new sit-ups.
Really? I've always done
like
planks.
In like official testing, you know, like the president test or
oh,
some shit.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's like they have you do plank stuff instead of sit-ups.
planks are kind of hard for kids, especially the fat ones.
Yeah, I know.
You were that. Not a fat. Okay, but like I'm thinking,
I
like
was the
like
second fattest in our class at a certain point in time.
Who was the fattest besides me?
Jordan, and not you.
Jordan was not that fat. He was just chubs.
He was chunkier than me.
He was a hungry kid.
No one in our class was like obese fat, but when true. Everyone around, it's all a relative. That's what happens with your self-esteem, is it's all relative.
That's true. That's fair. I'm not trying to invalidate the way you felt. I'm just saying you were.
Petey, same way you feel about your hair. I love your hair, but you think that it's pubes.
It is indeed literally 100% Rotten Tomatoes certified pubes. But you know what? That's why I grew a beard, to distract from it, which is getting too like, long.
Oh, what's
now?
That thing in your face? I barely even noticed that thing in the top of your head.
I just thought you were bald. I was just staring at your luscious beard all day. I did get a compliment on my beard today. Someone good. I was mentioning, I was like, wait, have you always had a mustache, to this guy I like work with occasionally? And he was like, yeah, man, I just can't grow as luscious a beard as you. And I was like, it was like the first time I was so floored. I just took the compliment instead of dejecting it like everyone else does.
Good.
In the West.
You should always, that's something great to practice, listeners. When someone compliments you, you go, you say thank you, and then you put your hand on your heart.
No, you reject it, and then you give them a better compliment so that you don't feel good about yourself, because feeling good about yourself is cockiness, which nobody likes. That's how you're told to do it in the Midwest.
No, but gratefulness is like peace in life. Like
that is true.
Grateful and appreciative, like that to me is like true peace.
I was just having that conversation with my fascia, other good news, and it was like, yeah, like be grateful for even the small fucking things. Like I was telling you we had this conversation on the podcast, but I was telling you about the autistic kids who do the cooking and they're like, wooden spoon! Right. And they get so excited. Right. They're so grateful. I'm like, oh, I love that. I'm just, makes me feel good. Also, speaking of grateful, how about some bad news? I'm going to throw it up on this bitch.
Okay.
I was painstakingly making... Ladies and gentlemen, we have a pee-pee tub in the kitchen cook's report. Yesterday, I was in the kitchen, and I was making a delicious, delicious fucking risotto. And I tried this new method where you rinse the fucking delicious...
Well, you piss in it, or abort- instead of adding Parmesan.
Pimajon. you rinse the rice and get the starch out, and then you pour the starch water back in. Don't do it. Fucking terrible idea. Ketanji Brown Jackson does not know what he's doing. Or Jay Kenji Lopez Alt does not know what he's doing with risotto. I call
he's
him
like,
Ketanji
what
Brown
the Supreme Court Justice.
She has a terrible risotto recipe. I call her that because I always forget Jay Kenji Lopez Alt's name. Anyways, turned out so bad, and I used a whole smoked turkey leg and the like a bunch of ingredients. It was like $40 worth of shit on the stove, and I ended up having to throw it away and making just bouillon rice in my Instant Pot. I was so sad. I was so disappointed in this recipe.
That's terrible.
I know.
Well, moment of silence for that risotto.
In the arms of
I was just about to
risotto.
Say and also, I was thinking of something like... Parmesan, no, it's not going to work. I was going to say Parmigiano Reggiano.
Oh. Parmesan Uriano.
Two fours.
We'll work. There's got to be a cheese that starts with U. If I can just think. Really
if I can
hard.
Just Google it real quickly. Anyway, well, thanks for. I'm glad that you're working out, Petey. That's great to hear.
Yeah,
I've also
finally.
Been doing more cardio, which I really needed to do, and that's been going well. Sometimes cardio is just boring. Anytime you have to do the thing for that long, it just is
Willy
boring.
Willy is frozen.
And that ultimately
do
is my issue.
Do you
want
to build a snowman? You froze again.
Building a snowman could be cardio if you worked fast enough.
Dude, pushing those giant snow orbs, what do you call that, spheres? Snowballs? I get, well, I didn't want to be crass about it, but yes, I guess they are testicular in shape and size. My balls are...
Testicles? What if our testicles were, like, perfectly round? Like, they are more of an oval.
Yeah, they're ovular. But isn't it called... It's the pedometer. No, not... orthometer. No, it's a... There's. A I literally had one in my puberty book. No, I have it in my puberty book, and it was like testicle size, and it was called like an ordometer or something. I'm not going to do this on my work laptop.
Ball spheroid.
Something like that. It's called... Testicles are an oval in shape and typically weigh 20 grams. The average size of a testicle ranges from 3.6 to 5.5 millimeters.
That's ultimately how I measured, how I could tell that my dealer in college was giving me the right amount of weed. Okay, well, I know that my ball weighs 20 grams.
Also impressive, you can just get one ball. Just one ball.
And I'm like, hey, can I borrow that? Can I borrow that scale? Whips out my balls.
Ooh, we're a little light today. We're a little light. Also, do you know what it is fucking called?
Oh, you know what? I had sex last night, so this all checks out.
They're a little drained. It's called, and this is what it looked like. You see this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
This okay, it so like it's like, it looks like a necklace of balls.
It looks like a necklace of balls.
And it looks like someone made like a like sort of tribal necklace of testicles of various sizes.
It's literally called an orchidometer.
Okay, so it's for orchids and...
Right. I knew it was O something. Orchidometer. Where did this even come from? What is the etymology of this? Wiktionary.
I'm from more interested in the entomology of it. What kind of ants are involved in this? Or beetles?
I'm sorry. Is somebody hungry for a delicious end of the aisle cakes? Are you an entomologist?
I do every time I see entomology. I do.
Entomins, is it national or local?
I think it's fairly national.
I think it is too.
Okay, PD, which favorite Entenmann's donut? 3, 2, 1, chocolate covered. Easy.
Easy. Dip that bad boy in some milk for breakfast. That is part of a balanced, healthy breakfast.
Okay, but if you, if you're getting like the mini ones, not necessarily Entenmann's, but just like the mini six pack of donuts, what's the best type to get over those? 3, 2, 1, powder.
Krispy Kreme. Oh, glazed. I don't like powdered donuts. Those are cake donuts. I don't like cake donuts.
I'm talking about like the cheapo little six pack of like little mini donuts, not like donut
glazed. Glazed yeast minis, not powdered cake. Powdered cake.
Okay, I don't think
like
you can even
butt.
Get the choice of yeast with those.
Yes,
I'm not talking about Krispy Kreme. I'm talking about some sort of off-brand Lil Debbie type of bullshit.
Yeah, they have yeasties.
No, I don't believe you.
Like you can get like little sixers of like Krispy Kremes.
But they're not Krispy Kremes.
Right, but they're like another shitty brand, but you can get yeasty ones. Are you talking about like the so. Are you
they
talking
would
about
get
Hostess?
All smashed.
Are you talking
they would
about
get
Hostess?
All smashed.
Oh, the donuts from Hostess is what you're talking about. Chocolate covered cake donuts.
I'm ending this transmission.
Get me. As we said the same thing twice in a row.
No, I said powdered.
Once in a row? Is it once?
Because it's once in a row. That's the optimistic way to say it.
Yeah, exactly. We were friends.
Once in a row does equal a pattern.
Yeah. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21.
23.
21. 13 plus 8?
Oh, I was thinking of primes.
Oh, I was doing Fibonacci.
No, I know.
Okay, let me just say real quick for a hot tangent on our tangent on the tangent.
And we haven't even
tangent.
Said, I don't even have my good news yet.
Okay, but hot tangent. There was a very hot guy who I was chatting with online. And I was trying to come up with an opener. And I was like, this guy, I know where I sit in the stack of homosexuals. I get it. I'm like, this is a reach for me. I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Ripped, gorgeous, has a big arm, and he's like flexing his arm, and he's got a Fibonacci sequence tattoo, the spiral.
Okay.
And I was like, nice Fibonacci tattoo. And he was like, thanks, man. No one knows what that is. And I was like, oh, I'm in.
Okay. So
and
you I was already like, got brownie points.
Yeah. And I was like, for sure. That's funny. No one knows what it is. And I said something else. Didn't fucking reply. We were like a back and forth very quickly, and he didn't reply. I was like, okay. So he was just literally fishing for Fibonacci compliments. He does not have any intention.
He he wanted the compliment. But then that's the thing. It's one thing to get the compliment and look at your phone and be like, oh, that's nice. It's another thing to respond and be like, thanks, no one gets it, and then ghost.
Right. Just be like, hey, I got the compliment. That's it.
You're like, oh, people are finally recognizing my Fibonacci. Okay, and here's my thing is, why is there no math-themed restaurant that serves Fibonacci's?
I was just going to say, have you ever been to an Italian restaurant that serves Fibonaccini? Alfredo?
Mine was better.
I don't think so. Fibonacci sounds Italian. Fibonaccini Alfredo.
But fettuccine Fibonacci.
Fibonaccini, fettuccine, Fibonaccini Alfredo.
Mine is simple.
That, the name of that is when the noodle goes like this in the bowl.
Fibonacci's is
Yeah, but you can put a noodle in the don't try okay, it. Well, don't even try. Thing is,
at the very least, we can divide and conquer. I'll take the like bar food and you take the Italian food, and then we okay. have that split up.
Have you ever had a Fibonacci Pellegrini? I'll workshop it.
Yeah, maybe go back to the drawing board on that one.
Okay, you don't get to say that. I get to say that is my turn. I was thinking about that
the other day of like when you say something self-deprecating and then someone agrees with you, and then and then you get hurt because you're like joking, and then they're like for real about it.
Oh, that's what you really think of me. Okay, never mind.
They're like, oh yeah, you do that all the time. You're like, you're not allowed to say that.
You're supposed to disagree and then give me a compliment like I did.
Right. I was fishing, obviously.
Yeah. Wait, okay, so what is your good news, my bar food friend?
My good news is that I did this, I DJ'd at this very cool local art market last weekend called the Summer Stack, and it was run by my friend Fernando, who has a podcast. Shout out to Art of the Bay podcast.
Did you not call his name?
Huh? Oh, Fernando.
Don't call my name, Fernando.
I did not call his name, actually, because he kept walking up to me to check in. He was very nice. No, but the event went really well. He did really well in planning and organizing it. A lot of great volunteers, too, and all the artists' booths were awesome. And unfortunately, I didn't get to walk around and talk to folks because I was playing music the whole time. But I played for, like, over 5 hours.
Holy shit. They better have compensated you.
Oh, they did. I got paid. It was great. Biggest paid gig I've ever done.
16 schmeckles.
Yep.
Which is the equivalent to $10,000 each.
Yep. Okay. If you do the time dilation.
So why are we here today? Okay.
So I texted Daniel this. So we've been talking about Soli Finley on the pod. I decided, shout out. You know what? Sometimes when people don't have a huge following yet, they'll respond to messages. So I just told them, hey, my friend and I love your content. Like, we can't get the voice out of our heads. Like, it's great stuff. And he said, hey, like, really genuinely appreciate that. Thanks.
He like, slid in. You slid into his DMs.
I slid into the DMs. With full
100% complimentary
So if we will give him the WOT bump, which is what happens when we tell the 10 people that listen to this podcast to go listen to go check something else out, and then they get all the views and engagement.
And what's his name again? Declan Plimbers?
Soli Finley. Or Finlay.
S-U-L-L-Y-F-I-N-L-A-Y. Is Finlay a Finnish last name?
Declan.
I thought it was Declan
Plimbers.
And I'm Dirty Dan.
Dirty Dan.
Pinhead Larry, that is a phenomenal episode of SpongeBob. Probably from like 2000, but I
love the Patrick memes where it's like Patrick with that like bow tie, like bolo tie thing, and it's like girls when they try to wear like a ribbon or whatever around their neck, and it's like Patrick with the one tooth.
And he's like, who are you calling Pinhead? Oh, SpongeBob, you got us through some rough times. 9/11, start
that's
there.
For sure.
That's for sure. It was not President Bush. It was SpongeBob. I'm telling you,
if I didn't have SpongeBob during 9/11,
I don't know where we'd be today.
I am today.
Exactly. God bless. I really wish we had a Proud to Be American song that could come on right now. And I'm proud to be an American.
We're the SpongeBob closest thing that we have to that is.
We're winners on the
moon. That's pretty close. Speaking of Futurama, which is what this podcast is about, which we haven't mentioned.
Oh, shit.
Once. The first 25 minutes. Everyone loves our banter.
I think we went on a little too long this time, but that's okay. They'll forgive us.
Yeah. You know what? We're still going to keep it a tight 45. It's a toiger. Here, I can.
So today we will be discussing season 5, episode 7, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I wanted to sing it.
You fucked it up.
I did. I said ninja. Because I was trying to say ninja. Let me try it again. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Don't try and fuck me up again. Teenage Mutant Leela's Hurdles, which I thought this episode was in the new series. I did not realize.
I thought it was too.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple things here.
Okay. Lay it on me, big boy.
One, this is a title about Leela, but in a way, it's kind of more about the professor.
I agree. I do agree with that.
This is sort of like one of the few like very professor-heavy episodes. This one and the mom one, you know, the robot uprising one.
Yes. That was my one. Speaking of one.
That's true. Everybody gets one. The Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
Everybody gets one. And then the other thing I was going to say is.
It's very professor-centric, not Leela-centric. And.
Sorry. There was a leak in the
gas line being your butt.
Do you ever have farts like that? They're like,
no, as a gay man, mine go.
That reminds me, every time we turn on the pilot, you know, every time we like are turning on the gas stove, it's like,
oh yeah.
We're always like,
you need to do that in front of Colin.
I know. I should have done it when he visited recently. Anyway, so, I don't remember what I was going to say after that, but it is kind of more of like a professor-y episode than it is Leela.
Yes. Oh, it's very professor-centric.
Leela's teenage self does not look like the teenager we see in the flashback episode where we're seeing her throughout the years and her parents are looking after her. Now, I don't know if the age is are similar, but I feel like there is a shot where Leela has a similar type of like 50s or 60s style dress or skirt.
Yeah, she's got like a sweater and, like skipping, and a skirt
right? And she's got the same style, but she has, I believe she has like glasses and or braces or something. She at least has glasses.
Oh yeah, this could also
in
be
this one
that.
She just is a younger version. She's wearing the same outfit as she would wear in the regular show.
That's true. And I was going to argue braces could be like an outside thing, but Bender gets braces, so
yeah.
You're right. And you're right, you're right. And you?
And you?
You're always right. One other thing, we start out with the professor missing Pazuzu, which I love.
Yeah.
Pazuzu!
Pazuzu!
And he goes around and looks for Pazuzu. But also, one thing that bothered me was professor gets everyone in the spaceship, takes off, he's got his driving thong on, and then he flies into traffic with his blinker going like 35 miles an hour. Yeah. His ship can do 99% light speed. But he's yelling out the window in space where no one can hear you scream. Because sound waves don't go through space because there's no air.
Also, is the window even open? I didn't realize that the window was open.
Oh, I thought I saw the window. Maybe I.
But anyway, he's still yelling inside the car or with the ship or whatever.
Yeah, like, no one's going to hear him.
So he says at the beginning, Pazuzu, like, I put you through school. How could you do this to me? Where do you think Pazuzu went to college?
Pazuzu, you.
No, this is an easy one. What does he look like?
Gargoyle.
Where do gargoyles belong?
In the 90s hit TV show for kids, Gargoyles.
I'll allow it, but I was going to say Notre Dame.
Oh.
Because Quasimodo is friends with gargoyles. The women to a newer thing.
That was a pretty good one. Okay, I'll allow that one. That was pretty good. I didn't even think about that one.
And Quasimodo's gargoyles walked so that the hit 90s so the TV show gargoyles could run.
Could run. And oh my gosh, do you remember fucking Street Sharks?
Yes,
Street
I was just about to bring up Street Shark sharks.
Gummies. The ones that have like the creamy bottom and the blue ones. Holy
any
crumb.
Gummies with a creamy bottom?
Oh, the Scooby-Doo
come
gummies?
Come to me.
Fire.
At Berkeley Bowl, you can bulk buy creamy bottom ones.
Oh my gosh. Also, you should be very proud of me that we said come to me and creamy bottom, and I didn't touch it once.
And good. And we're moving on. So anyway, okay. The premise of this episode is they take the professor. He's being too crotchety and too much of an old man. So they take him to this like facility to get him to euthanize. And obviously, yeah. At first, he thinks they're going to take him to get euthanized, and which is such a great small difference between the words, which mean completely opposite things.
Right.
One is like making you younger, and the other one is killing you.
And they take the professor all around. He ends up swinging by some restaurant in Florida to go get a early bird special. And I love that Florida yeah. has changed so much in the last 20 years where it's like Florida state jokes. Old people, walking fish, recounts. I was like, wow, it is the a same. Different fucking – what? I was going to say it's like all the jokes are completely different now. But it's like – Ron DeSantis and
oh, that's
like
true.
Meth and
but like
challenging
elections, old people, that's still the same.
True. I feel like also Hispanics is another one on there. Oranges is another one, Gators is another one. I feel like it's changed a lot.
I feel like it's added. It's changed into their stuff added to it, but it's not really that different in the sense that like things didn't really transform.
What were we saying? What were you saying? Something about things changing and staying the same.
That was Meek's mortuary.
That was Meek's mortuary. That's what it was. Meek's mortuary.
Now that man who owned that mortuary
is probably dead.
Milquetoast.
He is the definition of milquetoast. He is a white old man with a white beard and bald.
And he's a like, red face.
And a very red face because he's been drinking embalming fluid for the last 40 years. Mm. He's like, Meek's mortuary. As things change,
the more
we continue
change,
to stay
the more
the
we
more
stay,
we
the,
stay
same.
The same. Yes!
Now,
oh
here's
God.
What I'll say about that commercial is the M of the Meek's mortuary
looks like Marsh.
Like the Marsh M.
Ding, ding, ding.
And I used to get them confused as like a five-year-old.
Me too. Oh my gosh, same. Yeah, they need
and then
to,
I didn't
because like
I didn't know what a mortuary was for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, when did you learn what a mortuary was?
I don't know. I feel like I went to like funerals all the time as a kid. I also had like great grandparents who died.
But
when
did
I was,
you
like,
know
three,
what a
four,
mortuary
five.
Was? Did you know mortuary? Meek's mortuary is a place that's similar to the places where I've gone to the funerals.
I don't think I could fucking read, bruh. I think I was just like, the M looks like Marsh.
I know, but you're...
I knew the word. I couldn't read it.
Okay, I'm going to move on. It's not worth it. Anyway, I love that the restaurant... The
Fibonacci Alfredo.
Fibonacci's.
I will die on
and
this hill.
It's called Gummer's Cafeteria, and the early bird special is at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then when he walks in, he's like, I have my crotchety old man like membership card or whatever. Or I have the member card for the crotchety old man discount. And she's like, sir, this card is expired. And he's like, but it's good for a lifetime. And she's like, and it's expired. Yeah.
Because technically the professor is 161 and therefore over the age that the Sunset Squad should get him. So that does canonically make sense, to be fair.
And she presses the button under the desk to be like Sunset Squad.
Oh, Sunset Squad, yeah. So they end up going to the place where the professor's going to get euthanized. He gets all these different things done, and they finally go into a tar pit to have his age taken off, which the professor gets naked for. I love how he's always like a complete nudist.
Which leading scientists call can only be called a miracle or something. That we'll be describing
yeah. Which leading scientists believe is a miracle. That was a good quote. So Bender basically gets to the like very old timey water well pump, and he's like, pumping is just a primitive degenerate form of bending. And he starts doing it, and there's too much tar comes out, sweeps the whole crew up, and then makes everyone young. The professor is, I think, like 50-something, and the crew ends up going back to their teens. Yeah, the crew ends up going back to their teens. And so we basically
like early
have
– teens.
Yeah, like what would you 14? Say? Like 13, 14? Yeah,
Fry says 14.
Oh, yeah. So now we have basically the premise for the episode, which is like – the professor continually getting younger because the tar does not wash off or wash out of their DNA.
Off their DNA. Because it has chronotons that have bound to their DNA. Or
yes, exactly.
In Bender's case, his robo or RNA.
RNA. Yeah, I love that one too. And why doesn't Leela get younger? Is it because she's a mutant?
No, so she does. So at first, they're not continuing to get younger. They're just younger. And then when the professor tries to fix it with the bacteria ends up, I guess, shitting the chronotons all over the place or something, or they reproduce right. and make more chronotons. So then anyone who was in the cough chamber continues to get younger. So Leela was the only one not in there because she didn't want to grow back up.
Okay, yes, that makes sense. One thing the professor says after he gets out of the well is like, oh, now I'll need a fake ID to rent ultra porn. Which is so funny. The thought of A, needing an ID, B, renting, like it's such a like.
But then also having this type of thing that is like you have to be so old to be able to be like quote unquote mature enough for it, the way that right. that rule applies at 18 or whatever. It's like, okay, you have to be right. 60 or whatever to rent this other type of porn.
It's so funny on its face, but so preposterous when you think about it.
The best part is like when I think of something, if I think about like what ultra porn is, it's just regular porn, but with like Tron lights in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like a very like 80s futuristic sort of
thing. Yeah, with all the weird sound effects.
But otherwise, it's just the same.
Yeah. So we kind of get background of like LaBarbara comes and picks up my little stubby husband, which I love. She calls him Stubby.
I love that he has like the kid in play haircut, like tall.
Yeah, he's got the tall flat top. Yeah. Then Amy goes back to the Wong place, back home, and Amy's mom is like, oh, this is a mother's dream. Bad dream, that is. No, I'm never going to get grandkids.
Yeah, and then her dad just keeps on making fun of how fat she is.
Yeah, exactly. Then Bender is basically like the bad boy who has a motorcycle, and he's like, I'm going to leave. I'm running away. And the professor's like calls his bluff. He's like, fine, there's the door. It. Go for it. And he's like, I'll be good.
He turns the motorcycle off. I'll be good. And then Zoidberg, meanwhile, is just transforming into all these different forms that were earlier in his life cycle, including like a lamprey, like a clam.
Or an oyster. Trilobite. Yeah, it's just like a little like trilobite creature, like just weird little things. Trilobites are still around, right? I think they are. I think they're just like 1,000 years old and live on the...
I don't know.
The scrotian floor. Yeah, they're still alive.
The scrotum floor?
Oh, just kidding. They're extinct marine anthropods from a class Trilobitia. But there's like ones that are alive that look like...
I think you're thinking of the Pokemon. Based on them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Lycidia are still alive, I think. Nope, just kidding. They live in the Devonian period. Whatever. There's still things that look like trilobites that are alive. Fight me.
Look, guys. Anyways. There's things deep in the sea that we don't know about, okay?
I believe that. I believe Megalodon still exists.
I can hear you typing.
They're just not
so
as mega.
Loud.
My generative AI says, no, there are no living trilobites. They lived in a period about 250 million
years. Oh, your
years
generative
ago.
AI. You bought one.
The generative AI. Her name's Jenny. The generative AI.
Her name's Jenny. Uridid AI.
Okay, I'm just flat out wrong on this. I thought they were like still alive. They were still like,
you said three lies in a row and then were proven wrong on all of them.
I fucked up. The closest living relative to trilobites are horseshoe crabs, spiders.
Well, you're probably thinking of horseshoe crabs because they do look pretty similar.
I guess.
They have that like dome shell with the sort of like tapered off.
Ew, and those little like, blah, 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 like insecty legs.
Well, they are like insects.
Oh, wait, trilobite imposters. So there are ones that look like them.
And dress up like them and wear little mustaches just like the trilobites have.
Yes, exactly. With little top hats and canes. And they go, hello, my barber. Hello, my owner. Chitons. C-H-I-T-O-N-S. Oh!
Who said that?
It was so loud in my ear.
Who said that?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
sorry, Montana. Montana J-Toad.
Triggered him.
Isopods. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, oh I was God. Right. I was right. I'm done. I'm just saying I was right.
We just I needed 5 minutes.
I needed to prove
to
myself.
Look up extinct arthropods.
I needed to prove myself.
And the listeners love our banter, right?
They love our banter.
Normally, okay, PD is blaming me for not doing a tight 45 because I like to have people call in and we talk to different people. But this time, it's 100% your fault.
Tell me these little chicken fuckers don't look like these little chicken fuckers. Ha-boom! Well, wait.
They on. Do. And I already
said
that.
They look exactly
that.
Like. I know. I'm just.
I said horseshoe like, crabs look like them.
Boom. These aren't horseshoe crabs. They're isopods.
I know, but I'm just saying an example.
Oh, okay. Boom. That is. I'm sorry. Sim. Is this. Yes. The same thing. Okay. Just had to know. Do you want to finish the podcast now?
Yes, please. I'm ending this transmission.
Please end it. You here. You go. I need to.
Okay.
Let me wrap it all up.
So basically, the professor is like searching for this for the cure. Ends up making it worse, and so they end up finding Leela's reading a bedtime story to all the like young ones. So it's like Hermes, Fry, Amy, and Bender. And she realizes that she sees a bedtime story book that has a Fountain of Youth in it. So she's like, to the professor, like, maybe this will work. So they go find the Fountain of Youth.
Well, wait a minute. The professor comes to pick the kids up. And
yes,
Fry goes.
Thank you. This is one of our all-time favorite quotes of all time. Of
There's
all
two
seasons.
Good ones. There's two really good ones. I'll do the first one. You do the second.
After finding out about the Fountain of Youth, the professor comes to pick up the kids from Leela's parents' house where she's staying. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yay, like the professor's here. And Fry goes up and hugs him and then smells him. And he's like, ew, you smell like smoking and drinking. And then he goes,
I've had a few beers, man, but I'm cool to drive.
And he's like dressed up like a hippie at this point.
Right. Willie and I, neither of us have had a car in the past, like, 10 to 12 years, but we say that all the time.
I'm cool to drive.
I've had a few beers.
But just like the audacity of saying something like that is so funny.
When you're picking up toddlers. Oh no, you cut out. I can't hear you anymore. I think you pulled your cord when you moved around. Can't hear you. Can't hear you a lick. We can't hear a thing. Your microphone is off. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Is my microphone off? No, your microphone's off. I'll vamp. It's like super, super faint. Oh! No.
Check.
Yes. We're back. And we're back,
my
folks.
My microphone. I think I need a new cable.
Oh, that'd be
sometimes just like plugging it in, unplugging it and plugging it back in works. So I don't know. Anyway, I was trying to tell the listeners all of your deepest, darkest secrets, but I guess they didn't hear.
I was vamping and I
have to listen to After
Dark.
Deep, dark secrets.
That was a really good segment we should bring back.
We should.
I forgot about that one. I liked that one.
But we were revealing too many secrets. I think that's probably why we stopped. They end up just being stories from when we were kids. They weren't necessarily like deep, dark secrets.
True. And guided meditations were good.
Guided meditation is always going to be a top segment.
True. That's why we do have to do it sparingly. And each way goes. Did you record that yourself?
No, that's the guided meditation music. Oh, right. Also, what are you trying to say by that?
It just sounded like jingle bells in the background.
And why did you? At the very beginning. So it's supposed to sound like.
Okay. I'm saying that you record high quality sound, so that's why I asked if you recorded it yourself, because it was so high quality.
Caribbean. That was the wrong one.
Mom, it's a cold one out there.
Yeah. We are ADD on this PC. Wait. Yeah. Podcast. PC. Yeah.
It's just all P. It's just one word. So anyway, favorite quote. Professor and Leela take the kids to the Fountain of Youth, and they're all jumping in, and the professor, it's working at first, and then the professor loses grasp on the edge, and so Leela has to save them, and she gets everyone out except for the professor, and he says something like, I'm still in peril or something, or like my peril isn't over or something.
I wrote this down too. I'm still mid-peril, clogs. I'm still
mid-peril. And so then he's about to go under, and then Pazuzu, who has been like hiding underneath Planet Express, comes out and saves the professor. And that's kind of how we wrap up, because like the professor is like, thank you so much for saving me. And then it cuts to Pazuzu with his like son in Paris, I guess. And he's like, and that's my son, is how father gained his freedom. Yes.
I love Pazuzu's voice, and I love that he comes back in the new episodes. Pazuzu. He's got a very weird Greek accent. Yeah, he's like not French. Oh yeah, he's like bon oui to you all. I don't know. He sounds Greek to me, but you know what?
That was not my creative choice. And he's speaking French. I feel like that indicates that he's French.
And he's a gargoyle on top of Notre Dame. Clearly Greek.
Don't make me Garrison Keillor into this mic anymore.
It was a wonderful day in Lake Wobegon.
He only pull your tits out. Nose.
Oh, wasn't God. He a diddler?
He was a diddler of like staff, I think.
Oh, he was using his power. As he also mayor of, like, had Wobegon.
Like
multiple.
He also like definitely was not like a. He had like multiple divorces and stuff like that, so not a good on the long term relations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, quick sidebar. I watched the very, 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 very beginning of Solar Opposites with the British guy instead of with Justin Roiland.
I was going to ask you about that.
I had to turn it off.
It is a new voice actor for him.
I need to give it a full time. I need to give it a full episode, but it's just oh.
But you know what I noticed? The commercials I'm getting for it for the new season, they really lean into the Thomas Middleditch. Like they only have the other guy say like one line in the little commercial for it.
Oh,
otherwise
that makes
it's
sense.
like all the other voice actors.
Yeah,
mainly Thomas Middleditch.
I read reviews online and they were like, it's a good replacement, blah, blah, blah. And so I have to give it another try. But like, I was just like, oh, it's not anything about just because Justin Roiland plays so many other like random extra ancillary characters in there. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I can tell it's Justin Roiland. I love his voice, but I'll have to get over it because it doesn't sound like he's coming back.
Nope. And nor should he. And sometimes
I'm sure the jury's still out.
The jury is not out. He's not guilty of any crime, so that doesn't mean that he's not a good dude.
Give me a glisten of hope that it's all a lie and he is correct. I'm not. If the allegations are true, he is a sack of shit, but I want a glisten of hope that the allegations are false and someone sold his phone for 3 years.
Like I told you, I've seen the leaked text messages. He flirts with teenagers online. That's all I need to know to not watch his content.
I mean,
you're like about to forgive 18? That just so
are
that
they
you can
19?
Have... No, they're teenagers.
That's a teenager, mon frère.
I'm talking maybe... about under 18, minors. Okay, let me spell it out.
Here's the situation. Let me spell it out for you.
They have
the
pickaxes. They go deep into the ground. They're minors.
Actually, joke's on you because it was a 45-year-old cop on the other end, so he really never flirted with minors. He just thought he was, so he really never did anything wrong.
I'm fucking done. I don't even like you joking about being like a diddler apologist.
I'm not a diddler apologist. I'm just, let me just say it breaks my heart. And I'm so sad because
it breaks my heart too.
But
I think ultimately we're at a point where we've seen this happen enough times with like famous people that you just got to take the L and move on. It does suck that we won't get any more stuff from him, but like that's that. More other funny people will come along.
I'll be good.
I mean, we thought we were long. I'll be good.
Okay, so let's put a condom on this
fucker
and wrap it up.
How all the fans felt when they thought, people who thought that he was the funniest guy ever.
Think about all the people who stand pudding pops and they can't eat them anymore. Okay, so let's rate and then let's do trivia and then we'll put a bow on this package. And I'm not talking about wieners. I'm talking about a present to the listeners. I would give this
contains my wiener,
which is a dick in a box. Yeah, I would give this a solid 4. And I'm actually, you know what? Because there's three quotes in this that I really enjoy. I'm going to give it a 4.25. I really did enjoy this.
I would say it's a 4.25 as well. Honestly,
nice.
A lot of good one-liners. A lot
Sorry,
of
are we a 2001 boy band that sings the classic Bye Bye Bye? Because we are in sync right now.
A lot of good one-liners, but also just like the plot is great. Also bringing back Chronotons,
really,
which they've already done in the Globetrotter episode.
Call back to Chronotons. There's some really good gags, like Zoidberg dying, and then
it's really
back,
his brother
Zoidberg
who like butted off of him.
Yeah,
he and he's like, was the center of attention.
Yeah, and he's like, let him go already. I love that. We get a lot of space travel. We get some Leela backstory to like reverting. There's just a
and
lot
I do
of good
like
callbacks.
Her parents.
Yeah,
Did
and I love
the,
like we get
the tequila that he's having is called Suervo Gold instead of Cuervo Gold. It's like Suervo because they're.
Oh shit! Wait, the other one was there were good signs in this one too, where it's Fiddler way below
the
roof.
Yeah, Fiddler way below the roof.
And then the review at the bottom says 5 stars. It's crap. There was another sign after that, but I can't remember it. Okay, those are good.
Also, the high school is called Martin Luther Thing Junior High School.
Martin Luther Thing Junior. Shit, what was the one in between them? Fuck, it was really good too. I was like, oh, it was some other pun on sewer.
When Fry is like, can I get the sewer burger without the rat feces? And then Lisa's
what are you
like,
on a diet?
Yeah, what are you on a diet?
Okay, you go. I'm going to scan for this and you go and I'll think and do it at the same time.
We both know that you can't think and do it at the same time.
I can and I will.
Oh,
that was the wrong episode.
Okay, let's jump into Trivia PD.
Yeah, that's what I said. You go.
Oh, you want me to ask the trivia? I thought you meant like vamp while you go. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No.
For trivia, you already kind of said this earlier, so I'm going to skip this one. I was going to say who has braces, but you got it, Bender. Who has a web page?
A web page.
Which of the Planet Express employees has a web page?
A web page. Can I get any more context on that? Like what do you mean web page?
Nope. Like a website.
I want to say Ben...
Gender? We only have one gender called Muchacho.
Muchacho. Shit, who has a web page? Her, it's not Leela. It's not Fry. It's not Zoidberg. It's Bender?
No, that is incorrect.
Hermes?
It is Leela.
She has a web page?
She goes to her parents. She's like, listen, I know you guys think my life isn't as... They're like, Leela, you should just go back to being an adult. Like, don't you miss your friends and your job? And she's like, my life is not as glamorous as my web page makes it seem.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was a good one. That was very deep in context. I'm going to give that one to you. That was really good. The other sign I was thinking of, by the way, was sewage treatment plant. Our duty is clear.
That's great. Just
simple and brilliant. That was
so
good. Okay.
Of the books that Leela offers to read, What? Daniel's making a face at me.
Yeah, because that's going to be really hard. Yeah,
he's going to have like a stroke. So it's the which I do love the. Do you want to hear? She's going to read like a, from a magazine. Do you want to hear about eight-legged Chachi or tentacle Chachi?
Tentacle Chachi. And they're like, Mutine magazine.
How can I phrase this question? What is one of the books that Leela offers to read them?
Oh, from the storybook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's one of the stories? Charlotte's Tholian Web.
Yeah, Tholian Web. Yeah,
Tholian Web.
That's the one I was searching for.
Because I was like, what the fuck is Tholian Web?
I didn't know what a Tholian Web was either.
I didn't either. And if I am allowed to think about it for a second.
You're talking to my friend Jenny, Rediv AI.
Jenny, Rediv AI. Oh, it's a Star Trek episode.
Oh, okay.
It's science
that
fiction.
That must be so what the spiders in that Zap episode are based on.
Oh,
the ones he exterminates and then brings back all that silk or whatever.
Yes, that's exactly right. I forgot.
The $300 bill. Dollars
episode. 300 wing wangs. That's good. How many years?
No, I wasn't done.
Until I get my turn. You didn't let me finish. I said, how many years until my turn?
How many years until my turn comes? Because it's still on your turn. What is the Tooth Fairy's current job?
Head of the FBI, you son of a bitch. Good job on that one. I thought that one too.
Okay, that's it.
Made it sound like you had so many more. Fuck you.
No, I just okay, so one more.
We already alluded to this, but Bender has RNA. Everyone else has DNA. Mm-hmm. What do the real terms RNA and DNA stand for?
Okay. DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. Right? RNA.
You?
Is RNA just ribonucleic acid?
You are a smart cart. I am very impressed you do that.
You know why though, PD? Because I was actually having a refresher of this in my mind a couple weeks back when I had a week.
I did
back.
Too. I had to look it up. I was like, wait,
and
is
I was
it
like
dinucleic?
In the car. I think it was like in an Uber somewhere, and I was thinking about it, and it's like they call it DNA, but it's like deoxyribo, and then I was like, why don't they call it DRNA? Because I was
right.
Like, deoxy. It makes me DNA makes me think deoxynucleic acid. But deoxyribo
same, yeah.
Is one word, I guess.
Deoxyribo and then ribo is the type of protein that creates both of them.
Right.
That's what it's named after, which right. I looked this up the other day too, and I'm glad they like mentioned it because I was like, oh yeah, deoxyribonucleic and ribonucleic acid. And they're both myths made up by the liberal agenda. Yeah.
Yes. To get vaccines, to spread vaccines, which cause autism.
And
but autism's not bad. But it does cause that.
And then the government's going to control you.
It's a deep
state.
Give
you freedoms as well. It's a deep state. You wouldn't. It's a private thing, kid. How many years were taken off the professor when he initially jumped into the car?
Okay, so I'm gonna try in earnest to do this, but I will say I'm letting this slide. Technically, that's a sign. But we already said it out loud earlier, so 57. So he was 161. So
can't give any hints.
I know. I'm thinking out loud for the listener's sake, okay?
Okay.
So if I were allowed to calculate this in my head.
Whoa. Mrs. Debbing said we're not allowed to use calculators on this test. Also, you're assuming that you have the correct numbers.
Yes, obviously I have to assume that. But it's better than nothing, ain't it?
You know how to spell assume.
That was one of our old teachers. Who was a mega bitch.
So if he's 161, he loses 116 years.
That's your guess. You can't have any more guesses because it's a math.
I know.
Question.
That's why I'm waiting for you
math.
To tell me the right answer.
Oh, 103. He's 58 and he's 161 and he goes down to 58. So he loses 103 years.
Wait.
103 plus 58 equals 161. I'm just going to say my math is literally unparalleled. They call me Mathematicus at everywhere I go.
What was I do? I must have taken I was like, why was my 10 off from what you said when I was 1 year off? I typed it in wrong.
The look of pure confusion.
I'm so glad your fingers fumbled. The meme who's like squinting and there's like numbers all around. Okay.
Okay, one last one. Youthicizing is apparently the blank of this season. There's another procedure that occurred last season that Amy seems to have believed to be popular. What was that procedure?
Oh.
Splah, Professor. Youthicizing is the of this season.
Huh. I can't remember.
Shark cartilage enema.
Oh, God.
Which, like, I was thinking about and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And then I started thinking about how they, like, literally, like, use shark skin now to design,
like, heel thing,
bathing suits. Well, they use it to design bathing suits because, like, they're so fast. The way that, like, their scale, like, they do have scales, not skin, I think. And, like, the way their scales are, like, geometrically designed makes for faster hydrodynamic. Makes them quicker in the water when to swim. And so now they're designing bathing suits like that so you can go faster.
Yeah, but also they're making like band-aids out of like fish skin.
Oh, that's sick. I didn't know that.
The fish
sick
scales cool. Like help heal or some shit.
Oh, like when dogs lick their wounds, their like saliva helps be an antibiotic. Exactly. Antibiotic, yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, you learn something
the more you know.
New every day.
Well, folks, that's going to be it for us today.
Yep.
And much like every week, you can always support us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. You can also follow me on Threads at the Most Chill Bro, and I will be doing the updates on there. But generally, these come out every Saturday, so you can look forward to that. And Petey, do you have anything that you want to say to the listeners?
I think I'd say something along the lines of, we'll love you forever. We'll love you for always.
As long as you're listening,
our friend, you'll be. I got it right this time. Tee-hee, tee-hee. Now, take us away, Kalki.
Boss!
Not the one I was thinking of.
All my shit is like, where? I can't even find it.
He's flat. Look at this guy. He's spooked.
He's spooked. Look at this guy. I'll find it.
Who's that singing at your wedding? It's Calculon, Calculon, Calculon.
Bye!